KK255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow, praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah. How great thou art. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we come acknowledging that thou art great and greatly to be praised. Father, we pray now as we enter into the study of your word that you'll speak to our hearts, meet us in the text. Tell her the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer may hear, may know what it is you have for us this day. And God would be ever so careful. Give you all praise and glory as we not only discover the principles, but practice them for profit. And we praise your holy name. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to call your attention to the book of Numbers, chapter 32, and verse 7. Numbers, chapter 32, verse 7. Recorded are these words. And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over unto the land which the Lord hath given you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. And for just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, don't let discouragement happen to you. Don't let discouragement happen to you. When you look at this story, it's an interesting story. And you're going to note, if you have a chance to read this, I'll just kind of tell you about it quickly because I want to go back to verse 7 and dig out some nuggets in verse 7 that will be helpful to us when we are faced with and by discouragers who try to keep us out of the place that God has promised. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came to Moses and to the priests and to the princes and said, listen, this land that the Lord caused us to win, because the Lord overthrew them and defeated them, is a good land. And it's a good land for cattle. And they made the appeal based on the fact that they were good servants of Moses. And they said to him, listen, if we find favor in your sight, we want you to give us this land. We don't want to go over the Jordan. We think this is a good land. It's a good land for cattle. It's a good land for us because we've got cattle. And we'd like, if we found favor, for you to give it to us. Moses hears this. And he recognizes there is a spirit connected with them. And he commences to say to them, you've got the spirit of your fathers. I sent them some years ago to spy out the land of Cana. And they came back with an evil report. They upset God so much so that they kindled God's anger. And there they wandered in the wilderness and there died, never making it to the promised land. But you have grown up and you have that same spirit among you. And in verse 7, he deals with them discouraging the people of God, the children of Israel, the rest of that clan of God's people, whose high eyes and mind and hearts were set on receiving what God had for them. And so Moses says to them, listen, if you disappoint God like your fathers did, God's going to do to you that and more. They said, well, listen, tell you what we'll do. If you'll consider giving us the land, we'll build cities and we'll build sheepfolds and we will leave our little ones here and we will put on our fighting gear and go over the Jordan and fight with our brothers. And once they have won the battle, secured the land, we'll come back over on the Jordan side that we're now on and occupy our land. Moses said, well, I tell you what, you know what? I really can't help you, push you beyond wanting what God wants for you. But at least if you'll do your part and you'll go and help them to win the battle, then you can come back and have this land on this side. And so I want to focus in on verse 7 because verse 7 says something to us that I think is important for us to recognize that we will get as a help in our day and time and realize that discouragers still live among us in our churches today, in our world today, and they are hindrances to the work of God. And if we're going to do anything worthwhile for God in our own lives and in our own churches, our own ministries, etc., we must be aware of discouragers. Say, beware of discouragers. Be aware of discouragers because folk don't understand that discouragers serve on some of the same boards with you. Some of the discouragers sit on the same pews with you. Some of the same discouragers lift up their voices in praise to God but do not want to follow the plan of God in the same church with you. And it's difficult sometimes for you to believe that somebody don't want the best that God has for them. But discouragers are used to settling for what the flesh desires. And I want us to walk through the text and find out some things about it. First thing I want you to look about this text, it says, and wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over unto the land which the Lord hath given you. So Moses is saying, listen, you want me to do this thing for you and send a message to the children of Israel that they can have the lower or lesser part of what God offers to them. Yes, he killed their enemies, dealt with their enemies, destroyed their enemies, and took the spoil of their enemies and gave that to them, but that was on their way to the best that he had for them. Sometimes you don't understand that God will give you a little taste of something good, but that something good is just to give you a foretaste of the best that's yet to come. He don't intend for you to camp out and live there. He just wants you to pass through, letting you know that what he's done once, he can do again. And so having defeated their enemies and having given to them the spoils, now these groups, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, want to make this place their home. Can I throw a helpful holy hint out to you? This world is not our home. We are pilgrims passing through, and don't ever get so caught up where you want to stay here and miss heaven. Listen, First thing I need you to see is they wanted to discourage devotion. Discourage devotion. Look at what the text says. Wherefore discourage ye the heart. The heart. This is where the devotion lies, in the heart of the people of God. You see, when your heart is right and your heart desires to do what thus saith the Lord, you've got to understand that the enemy is upset with folk who are devoted to God. Matter of fact, when you look at this, discouragers will frown when you get excited about the things of God. Discouragers don't understand why you're excited about what God is doing. They're sitting right there next to you. They're hearing what you hear. They think they're seeing what you see. They think they know what you know, but they don't understand why you shout. It doesn't make sense while you're on fire for God, and they'll throw a wet blanket on top of you who are burning with the fire and the zeal of the Lord just to try and keep the heat from getting on them. Listen to that, my brothers and sisters, because I want you to see this. When you get fired up for the Lord and you display that kind of devotion, that kind of zeal for him, you need to understand that the discouragers will not like you. I look sometime at people of God excited about the things of God, won't shut up for the things of God. They'll say and speak it with all their heart, with all of their desire, because they desire to please God. And I look at some discouragers looking at them, if their eyes were bullets. They look at them as if, man, you know what? I wish I could just trip her. I wish I could knock him down. It don't take all of that foolishness. Discourages. Listen, don't mind if you get excited about a ball game, politics, business, love interest, fashion and styles, etc. But do not get excited about the things of God. The discouragers will tell you about going overboard. Now, you know it's all right to worship the Lord, praise the Lord, and that's all good. He works with all of us differently. But here's what he said to all of us. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So however you praise him, if you got breath, you ought to praise him at least on your order. But you can't praise him with your mouth closed, twisted up. These people were devoted to God, and they were not afraid of the enemies who presently occupied the land. Listen, they saw past the enemy because of the devotion they had for God, into that God said he would give to them and honor them with, and that was the promised land. Now, yes, some of them had become caught up in a side view where they may have gotten distracted, but they weren't discouraged. And Moses tried to keep before them and help them understand it's always best to want what God wants for you. Always best. And so when you begin to look at this and understand how these folk were discouraged, they were discouraged because Moses would not let them discourage the children of Israel. He told them, listen, God will do to you what he did to your fathers and more. And so they came up with an alternate plan. Tell you what we'll do, Moses. We'll build cities and we'll build sheepfolds and we'll take care of our little ones right here on this side. And then we'll go fight for them to get their land, to get what God has for them. But we don't want none of that. We're going to come right back here and live here. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when people don't want what God wants for them, you can't make them. You can't make them want it. You can't do it no matter how hard you try. Moses surrendered to the fact that, listen, if you'll go help them to get what God has promised, then you can have what you want, even though what you want is less than God's best. So listen at this, my brothers and sisters. You're going to have discouragers. If you turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 14, all the way through 42, you don't actually have to turn now, but I want you to turn and read in your private time. Here's Peter and some of the other brothers who were preaching the word of God. And they were preaching it with such power and authority that they became placed on the hit list of the religious establishment. And so all the religious leaders got mad because of the doctrine they were spreading in the community. And the people started following them because they had finally started getting some real word. And so the powers that be who were in the religious sector became upset because they were there with display and not devotion. And so, my brothers and sisters, whenever someone has a true devotion for God, you will always come shining through over and against those who have a display for God. And so here they were preaching and teaching the word of God, and people were getting saved and getting delivered, and believers were being added to the church. And listen, the church leaders got Peter and some of the other brothers and beat them and put them in prison. One night the angel came and released them, and when they let them out of prison, because they had been told, listen, I don't want you preaching or teaching in this name, they beat them and put them in the stocks and said, this is the end of your preaching, teaching career. Well, the angel came the night, let them out. They got out. Next morning, they showed up to church. And when they went to release them the next morning from prison, the word came back, sir, the prison is locked. The guards are in front of the door, but the men are gone. And I want to tell you, they're back preaching and teaching what you told them not to do. Now, I want you to see something else now. They go to the church. Their first mind was to take them in front of everybody and beat them, but they saw that the people were so touched by the word that they had received that they were scared that the people would jump on them and stone them for messing with those who had brought forth the liberty of the word of God. Listen, these people had been in bondage and darkness so long that they had finally seen light, and now that they had gotten light, they would hurt anybody who tried to take that light away from them. So they called them over to the side, and they said, listen, you boys don't, y'all don't get it. Now what we have here is a failure to communicate. We told you, don't do this. And listen to what their response was. They beat him and they put him back in jail. And there was a man by the name of Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, said, brothers, can y'all come here for just a minute? I want to have a quick meeting with you. Let me tell you, I've been around here a long time. And I want to tell you about two other groups of folk who came and said they were doing business for the Lord. And they went through all of their spiel, and when it got through with it, it came to naught. And then the other one came, and he did what he said he was going to do and all the rest. And when he got through with that, it came to naught. He said, but these boys, it's something about them. And I advise you to leave them alone. Because if you keep messing with them, you're going to find yourself not just fighting with them, but fighting with the God they represent. I wish I had a helper in the house. And I'm just trying to tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you got that kind of devotion for God, people will be able to tell how serious and how sincere you are about the things of God. They might laugh at you. They might lie on you. They might talk about you for a little while, but oh, God will send some help on the scene
to tell them folk to leave you. Oh, I wish I... Leave you alone. And so my brothers and sisters, they dealt with this discouragement of their devotion. But I want to show you something else. I want you to look at the second thing that I see in the text. And the discouragers not only wanted to discourage their devotion, but the discouragers wanted to discourage their progress. Progress. That's one of the purposes of discouragers, is to keep things from progressing. Keep things from happening. Keep things from moving. Keep things from going on. And so they wanted to discourage progress. Listen, wherefore discourage, and it goes on, the children of Israel from going over. Focus right there. Going over into the land. The discouragers did not want to go over. They didn't even want to go in. They didn't even want to go to. And what's interesting about this is when some of the discouragers have lofty positions and places and titles and don't want to do, they want to discourage you. Now here's what discouragers really don't want. They don't want you to leave them, but they don't want to go. Y'all didn't hear me. I said they don't want you to leave them, but they don't want you to go. And listen at this. If they don't want to go and they don't want you to go, then the whole point of that is to discourage progress. Listen, my brothers and sisters, when you begin to understand this and see how they work, the discouragers did not want to go over. And this is something that you must understand. They were satisfied where they were with what they had. Well, they'll tell you things like, if it ain't broke, we've been doing it like this since I was. My great grandfather was doing it like that. My mother and my father, it was good enough for mama. Well, that was some things that were good enough for mama, but mama had sense enough to want you to want more than what she had. I wish I had some help in the house here. Any real good mother wants their children to have more than they have, progressed further than they have come. And so, you know, there are some people who use that as an excuse to keep them from moving from one good degree to another, discouraging progress. And it doesn't take all of that. This works just fine. I'm satisfied where I am. And so it was this kind of discouragement of progress that these folk had. Because one of the things I want you to know was that as they were satisfied with where they were, it was three reasons, first of all, that the discouragers didn't want to go. See, there are always ulterior motives for them not wanting you to go. But it's always steeped in the reality of what they feel and desire. First thing was, they didn't want to go because it was comfortable where they were. Comfortable. Not only did they not want to go because it was comfortable, but it was convenient. They already knew the land, the setup. They were already, you know, used to doing things their way. They had their routine. It was good. But the third reason why they didn't want to go was because where they were was challenge free. Wasn't nobody going to challenge them about changing. Wait a minute, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know how long I've served here? Well, that might be the problem. You've served too long. Listen, not the Lord, but yourself. I know some of y'all want to shout amen, but you're scared to shout. I'll shout for you. Woo, glory.
Amen.
What is it with that we've got to die in positions? Some of the pastors who have killed our churches are pastors who have lived beyond their usefulness, lived beyond the notice of retirement that God says your work is done in this capacity. They have lived beyond the place where the anointing flows, and yet just because it is convenient, yet just because they're comfortable, yet because they're challenge free, they want to die in that place. And so the church dies because nobody challenges them. If you can't preach no more, then I think you better let it go. Listen. We want to stay in position because we're not interested in progressing. And so you go from 200, 300 down to 20, 30, and something is wrong that you don't recognize that you're going backwards and not forward. And because you're comfortable and it's convenient and you're challenged free, you stay in that place of non-progress. Presidents have killed auxiliaries and ministries far outliving their call. No longer have the passion, the desire, the devotion to do what God has called them to do. And when they get any challenge within the group, they label them as folk who want to make trouble. They label them as young folk that don't know where they're going, wet behind the ears. Maybe your time has been well spent, and it's time for new blood, new life, new passion, new desire, new devotion. Listen, I don't care if you're 100 years old. If you got the power, the passion, the desire, and the devotion to do what you do, then do it. And I don't care if you're 30 years old and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, then you need to move it. You need to move it, move it. You need to move it, move it. Move it. Y'all sit here looking like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. And so, listen. The last three things I want to say about these folk who are discouragers, who want to stop progress, is this. Number one, their whole desire, because these are discouragers of progress, number one is to stop progress. Stop progress. They'll tell you, I don't want that. We don't need that. That don't make no sense. But listen, if they can't stop progress, then they want to slow it. They want to slow progress till it becomes almost non-moving and effective. But if they don't want to stop it and can't slow it, then the last thing they want to do is short-circuit it. You know, they want to throw a wrench in the works. They want to throw a rock and hide their hand. They want to short circuit. Things are going well. Things are going good. And they find some kind of way to turn the positive flow and attention from making progress to that brings discouragement and dissension. And God has issues with those who discourage progress. Listen,
If you don't want to help us, then don't hinder us. Yeah.